Turning again to that portion of the word we read in Luke chapter 12. And taking this evening words for our text that can be found in verse 5. Luke 12, verse 5, but I will forewarn you when you shall fear whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. We have many descriptions in Scripture of hell. The Lord Jesus himself gives us many of them. It's spoken of as about a place where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's spoken about as a place where the worm, that's the worm of conscience, dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. It's spoken about as the place of eternal damnation. Sad to say, friends, that in many places, thankfully still amongst ourselves, but we mustn't be complacent about these things, that in many places or in much of modern Christianity today, there is little place given to the doctrine of hell. A doctrine that is found in Scripture, not just on the one part of it, but throughout the whole of Scripture. And many preachers and even theologians who write books, and therefore people who listen to them and to read them, have ended up playing down, or in most cases, at least ignoring the biblical doctrine and the biblical teaching on hell. Or often at least using other softer language to describe it. I was reading about C.S. Lewis, and Lewis maybe not be somebody that all of us would agree in all his doctrines. But C.S. Lewis is reporting of having gone to listen to this well-known preacher. And this preacher was preaching on God's judgment on sin. And he finished his sermon by saying, receive Christ, or you will suffer eschatological ramifications for your soul. And afterwards, Lewis went to speak to him, and he said, when you used that language, did you mean hell? He says, of course I meant hell. And Lewis said, well, why didn't you just say that? Why didn't you just use the word that everybody can understand? And I believe that there may be far too much today of giving place to that kind of thinking, of not wanting to offend or not wanting to alarm too much and not wanting to speak about what Scripture itself speaks very clearly of. After all, who wants to focus on hell when we can emphasize gentle Jesus, meek and mild? And he is, but he's also a just and a holy God. And what is happening in such cases? Well, surely it is that the holiness and the justice of God, especially, and his hatred of sin, is diminished. And in many cases, utterly ignored in the preaching. And friends, if we do so in preaching, we are in that way complicit in the damnation of many if we are not bringing before people the reality of hell. Now, friends, while hell is not always an easy or a comfortable subject to preach on, we cannot, we dare not lay it aside and never bring it before our congregations. And I have to say that what I seek to bring before you tonight, it is something that I have struggled with, and right through my ministry struggled at times with as well, to have a balance in these things. But sometimes, friends, there's a need to be clear and not to beat about the bush regarding some of these teachings. And I would suggest to you tonight, while I know that the vast majority of those gathered here tonight are already believers, I will suggest to you, Christian, here, that you need to remember, maybe more than you do, and I do, what we have been delivered from, what has happened in our lives, and the cost of our salvation. To remember what we were, and to remember now what Christ has done for us. And surely if we are going to think about Christ and all he has done, we cannot but think of where we would have ended up if it were not for him. And dear friends here tonight who may still be without Christ, I say to you, I preach this tonight, not in any bitterness I pray, not in anything, but I hope and pray with love and concern for your souls. So I want tonight then to address the subject of hell. And I can use an acronym, the word hell itself, H-E-L-L. And I would like to suggest to you that hell, first of all, with the letter H, is a hopeless place. A hopeless place. I mean by that all hope is gone in hell. And the moment a person enters into that lost eternity, all hope is gone. Now, while we are in this world, and while we're all still in this world, all of us have hope. And hope can be a blessing in many areas of life. It's a terrible world, and it would be an awful world without any hope, even at the very basic level of day-to-day life. How difficult life would be. It is an unpleasant and a fearful thought to be in a situation going on from day to day without hope of any kind whatsoever. And however bad things may be today, whatever illness you might have, whatever troubles are in your life, whatever difficulties have come your way, there is always hope that tomorrow things will get better, that you'll get over the difficulties, and that you'll be in a situation where things will open up for you and things will get better. But, oh, friends, here is a place where nothing gets better. It's a place without hope. Hell is hopeless. All hope is gone. It is the place where you will come to yourself and you'll find too late to repent. You'll have left opportunity behind. There won't be another opportunity to call upon the Lord. It is a place where it's too late for repentance. Hopeless. And I'm sure here tonight, those of you who may still be without saving faith in Christ, there is still that hope, is there not, in your heart? There is that hope still held out, and you feel, well, maybe, 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 one day it'll happen. And so even that gives you a bit of hope. But imagine if that even was taken away from you. And I know some of you here who are interested in the things of the Lord to some extent. Imagine if there was no hope at all. And that would be gone for you. What a fearful condition you would be in. But that's hell, friends. Hope is gone. It is left behind. Stop and think about that. And as you will be if you die Christless. And if you are there and you are suffering the pains and agonies of hell, tormented in its depth, forever and ever. There will be no hope whatsoever because it will never come to an end, ever, ever. It's an ongoing situation eternally. And there is no hope that maybe, just maybe, tomorrow will be better. Or a little while later, even a thousand years will be better. This is what we have in Scripture. There will not even be, friends, hope for you. When you're in hell, there will not even be a bit of hope for you for a moment. You won't even ask for mercy in hell. Oh, well, maybe tonight you think, well, I hope I will find mercy, that God will be merciful to me one day. But you know, in hell, there won't even be that, because that will be gone for you forever. And why is it that? Because it's pointless, and you'll know it's pointless. And you'll know you won't ask for mercy, because it is pointless. Because all hope will be taken from you. Remember what we read about the rich man and Lazarus? Not once did he ask for mercy. Not once did he ask to get out of there. Why? Because he knew he would never get out. It would all be gone. His days were finished. He was now here forever and ever and ever. And not even a hope of, if you like, of death. You know, death would be a mercy in the sense that we understand death. But at the same time, of course, that's only if you went out of existence, which is not possible, to alleviate your sufferings. You know, you hear people sometimes, and they speak about, especially maybe somebody wounded, maybe you've read about or seen things, wounded in the war, and they cry for someone to put them out of their misery. You know, that idea of leaving these things behind, a hope of the pain and the agony coming to an end. But even at any level itself in hell, that is not possible. Because it'll be going on and on. And every moment, as it were, going deeper and deeper and deeper into the agony of it. And the agony of soul will begin more and more. And the depth of despair at the thought of no hope. This is it. There is no end to it. This is what's going to be. Can you imagine the desperation and the wretchedness? Oh, the awfulness of hell, friend. There's no end to this, knowing this. And you here tonight, young or old or middle age, if this is applied to you, think about it. Think about these things. Think about what Scripture says, not just me saying, any other preacher. It is what's clear in the Bible for you. You might not like to think so. You're hanging on to a little bit of hope. But your hope must be in Christ and nothing else. And the sooner you put your faith and trust in Christ, the more sure you will be. Rather than to leave it and hope things will work out in the end. But there's a place where this is going on and the suffering will never end. So, dear friend, I say to you, this is your need. To flee to Christ while you still can, before it's too late, because there is only mercy in this life. And there won't be a cry for mercy in hell. Nobody, as I said, in hell will be crying for mercy. Surely there will be. No, there won't. Because that means a bit of hope. And there won't be any in any way whatsoever. And so, dear friend, think about it. Hell is a hopeless place. H for hopeless. What about the letter E? Well, let's think in this way. Eternity. Eternity. It is, Scripture tells us, an everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. An everlasting fire. Not a thousand year fire, not even a million year fire. Everlasting eternity. You know, friends, I don't believe any of us can grasp that fully. But oh, try and think about it for yourself. Think about the situation that'll be. There is what we have. No wonder the Lord Jesus tells us here, fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. He says, I fear him. It is an eternity. You know, the Roman Catholics have this idea, as you all know, of purgatory. The idea that after a while that they can be released from suffering after suffering for a little while. And so that if there's comfort there for these poor, deceived, deluded people. And that's all it is, a deluded people, because it's not the teaching of Scripture, that they'll be released through penance or indulgence or whatever else paid. Then everything will be fine, and they'll get out of this situation. But what does Scripture say? The dead opposite. Absolutely. This is forever. Once you're in there. And there is no getting out of it. And it goes on and on and on without end into eternity. Forever and ever, tormented day and night, forever and ever is what Scripture says. That's what we need to remember. Who was it who was saying, oh, that eternity would be stamped on my eyeballs, that I would never lose sight of it, that I would remember eternity. And especially an eternity in a lost eternity. Can you imagine, friend? Can you even grasp the least of that? I hope you can even think about these things. And you, Christian, tonight, don't forget it either. What you've been delivered from to another eternity with Christ. That's what we seek. That's the eternity. But here is a lost eternity. It's a suffering eternity. It's eternal damnation that we have here. Oh, you say, many people, well, God, why is God so cruel? Why is he like this? What's the point in this? Oh, my friends, he's not cruel. He is holy and just. And that's what people have lost sight of. The holiness and the justice of God that demands. You and I can, well, somebody does something wrong, gets whatever, well, that's fine. But God cannot. Somebody can sin against us, and we sin against somebody else, we just get on with it. You see, God cannot. He cannot but deal with sin. He cannot but punish those who sin and do not repent against him. His holiness demands that all his wrath will be poured out forever and ever, eternally, upon those who have not believed in his beloved Son. And it'll go on endlessly in hell forever and ever and ever. And those who are there, who had many opportunities to repent and have not, and here you are tonight, some of you. How many opportunities, how many sermons like this and presented along these lines have you heard over the years? Some of you for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, maybe 70 years, and you're still the same. And what are you heading nearer hell all the time? This awful hell. You see, friends, this belief that being taught and accepted that God is too kind to punish anyone in hell, you know, it's become a, as it were, a get-out clause for the conscience of millions of people. And much of the problem is what comes from the pulpits. And that is what is preached so often. And so you go to a funeral, you all know what it's like. I know it's not an easy time when there's a funeral, not a time really to bring up hell, as it were, not necessarily so. But you know yourselves, nobody who dies now goes anywhere but heaven. Is that real? Is that realistic? Is that truthful to give that impression? You see, friends, the Scripture is very clear of what is set out for us. The Bible is clear for us all in these things. Eternity. A hopeless eternity. Because God cannot stop hating sin. It is impossible for him. And therefore, because he cannot stop hating sin, hell is therefore endless. It's an endless lost eternity. You know, friends, sometimes, I'm sure you do, occasionally at least, you know what it's like sometimes to have a dream, a nightmare, and you wake up maybe sweating, and oh, it's been awful, and you're so thankful. While it still rings with you a bit for a while, oh, so thankful that you wake up and you find it wasn't that night, it was just a dream. Ah, oh, my friends, here's something that's going to be a million times worse, and there's no waking up from it. It is an ongoing situation for you. No waking up from it. This awful situation. Oh, there'll be no morning dawning at this time. You see, elsewhere Scripture speaks about weeping may for a night endure, at morn doth joy arise. Yes, for the Christian. But for you, there will be no morning and there will be no dawning. No end to it. Oh, realize what this means. It's not just a momentary punishment for your sins. It's an eternal punishment. No hope, as it were, of parole from this sentence. It is a life thing. It never ends. Pained and tormented by God's means. And what are his means? His means here are Satan and his angels. For this is what has been prepared for the devil and his angels. And they'll be suffering there. But they will be companions in suffering. And you know what? They'll be there, as it were, let loose on you. The devils, thousands of them. Thousands of them. And they let loose on you. And as much as they will suffer, they will also hate you. And they'll make sure that you'll suffer. And they'll be there around you. And there won't be a moment when they won't be around you. The fire there that is never quenched. And I believe also that part of the torment of hell will be your perfect memory. I mean by that I believe that you'll remember forever and ever. You know, in this world we hear things, and probably even the sermon tonight will be forgotten very quickly by many. But in this world, sometimes we forget things. But in hell, you will remember particularly, you'll remember the opportunities that were given to you. You'll remember the times when you were told about heaven and hell. You'll remember the times when you were pled with, maybe by your parents, maybe by your husband, your wife, even in the preaching. Oh, you'll remember these things, every mistake that you made, every opportunity that you missed, every opportunity you despised, and your conscience will eat away you. Well, the worm dieth not, the worm of conscience. And you know yourselves, even now in this life sometimes, oh, how painful the conscience is at times against something that we've done or we've been involved with. But here, it never ends. It's a worm that eats away at you. You will not forget it. And you young ones here, the same. This applies to you as well. Every single one who dies without Christ. It's a hopeless place. It's an endless eternity. And thirdly, it's also for the hell, it's a loveless place. Hopeless, endless, loveless. We spoke earlier about a world without hope. Not a very nice thought. And a world without love, would it not be even more awful indeed? No love. What a terrible world we would live in. Think of those that sitting beside you here and elsewhere. And there's no love for them. You can't imagine how you could survive like that. What a terrible place. But friends, that's hell. A loveless place. place. And if there is no love, there must be something else. And what will be the opposite? Hatred. Hatred for one another. Hatred of yourself and hatred of those around you. Even your kith and kin, they were there and you'll hate them. Those you loved most in this world, if they end up in hell with you, they won't be your comfort. They'll be those that you'll despise and hate with a perfect hatred. And that hatred will not end. It is inevitable, friends, where there's no love. But there's sheer, brutal, raw hatred for one another. Can you imagine it? Oh, but my family, my children, my loved ones, my wife, my husband, my parents, my wider circle of friends, how can that be? Because you are in hell. And there's nothing good, nothing positive in hell. Everything is the opposite. Ah, but you know, you hear some people say, ah, well, yes, but I'll be there with my friends and my mates. If I'm going, if they're going, that's fine with me. Oh, my friend, there's no mates in hell. There's no mates in hell. That day is gone. There's only enemies. And everywhere you turn, there'll be an enemy. And not just an enemy who does nothing, but they will be, as it were, at you, and you will be at them. And everywhere you look, by the devil and his angels. So really, what is it that's true about everyone who's in hell? They become devils themselves. And so there, while in this world the unbeliever is under the rule of Satan, but there'll be no breaking away from his bondage. At times here we all do things and have done things sadly, and you think, well, the devil made me do that or this and that, the next thing. But you get away for a while and then something else comes. But there it'll be constant. Constant, the devil, Satan, his angels, prodding you on, working away at you, hating you, showing hatred for you. Oh, you think, well, there must be someone here, there in hell, who will help me. There must be someone who will show me kindness. There must be somebody of a like mind. There must be someone who I knew in this life. And well, I was good to them. And surely now there'll be something for me, my dear friend. Look forever and you'll have plenty of time. And you'll not find one single person. Not even one single act of kindness. But hatred. A loveless place. Love, friend, will have gone, left behind at the moment of your death. And even those who maybe stood around your bed as you passed away into eternity, those who cared for you maybe for weeks and months and years when you were not well or whatever, showing such love and kindness to you, and you go in there, and that's it. And even if they entered in with you at that very moment, the moment they're in there, it'll become loveless and hatred and bitterness and envy and godlessness. You'll have forgotten the moment you open your eyes in hell that the word love ever existed or that you ever experienced it or expressed it yourself, because you are entering into the place of damnation, where hatred will grow forever and ever and ever. A hopeless, endless, loveless place. And that finally, the last L in it, it's a location. A hopeless, endless, loveless location. Some have the idea that, well, hell is just in people's minds. It's just something that has been thought up to try and frighten people. Of course, there's no such place, no such location. Well, what do you think the Lord Jesus meant when he spoke here and elsewhere as well in Revelation? But the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, sorcerers, adulterers, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, and so on. We could quote many other places. A lake of fire and brimstone. Oh, my friends, it's a place. Just as heaven is a place. What was he teaching, do you think, of the parable of the rich man and Lazarus? It was the reality of the place. The reality of hell. The place, the psalm that we'll sing in our final psalm, the wicked are turned into hell. It is a place that they go to. It's a place you will go to if you die without Christ tonight. You've got to realize that this is not a figment of man's imagination. Can I say it with reverence? It's not even a figment of God's imagination. It is a real place that he has prepared for the devil and his angels. And there you are. Counted as one of them then. This is God's place for all who will reject his beloved son and so reject at the same time the place that has been prepared for those who believe in the son in heaven itself. It's amazing, isn't it? Or maybe not so. People who reject a place called hell, oh, they're all ready to accept a place called heaven. You find again, going back to funerals, don't dare mention they might have gone to hell because it's not really of any consequence. But oh, they've gone to heaven. And they'll be looking down on us now here. And they'll be sharing this and having that song with this one. And having that chat with this one. Quite happy to think of heaven as a place. But mention hell as a place and the reality of it. They'll laugh you to scorn. My dear friend, don't ever go along with these things. Realize what it is. Realize the reality of what it is. It is real, friends. It is not a place that anyone surely would want to be. And there's only one way of knowing, not going to that location. You can only be in one place or the other at the end of the day. You all know that. Everyone here knows that. In this cursed and loathsome place that has been prepared for the devil and his angels, and I said, you'll be one of them if you despise and reject him now. Do you think that a holy God is going to allow you into heaven when you've refused his son, when you've not put your faith and trust in him, when you've just let things go? I think, well, tomorrow will be fine, friends. There is no tomorrow. In hell, it's forever. In that location, it is an endless location, a loveless location. That's what it is. It is a hopeless location. And one day, at the very end, when souls and bodies are reunited, you know, my friend, that day, what a thought that is. And who could imagine what you're going to hear and see that day. You will see and you'll hear the awful, lost, devilish shrieks from hell, from lost souls suffering in hell. Oh, parents here tonight, plead for your children. Husbands for your wives. Wives for husbands. Children for parents. Plead that this would not be their end. Plead if you know the Lord at all. Put it before them, in front of them. Don't let them go thinking it is nothing. And there's plenty of time, especially you young people here today. My dear friend, it is real. It is a location, a place that has been prepared. And if you were to ask your Judases tonight or your Hitlers tonight, but also some maybe that you knew yourself, if you were to ask them tonight, some who have gone before you, afraid to say it, but I think it must be true, even from this congregation, maybe buried from this church. We don't know. But what do you think? Friends, it's real. Those who die without Christ. And if you ask them tonight, oh, if you could speak to someone who has died and that, is it real? What do you think they would say to you? Oh, it's real. It's real. It's a place. It's an awful place. This is what we have. They would say to you, is it real? Are you mad? Of course it's real. It's what Scripture speaks about. We should have listened. It's too late now. And there they will be suffering the pains of hell forever. And dear friend, if you die without Christ, this, without question, is the end for you or I as well. Hopeless, endless, loveless location. It's sad how the word is used so thoughtlessly now, isn't it? We hear it so often. The word used as a nothing. They can't even want to say how it's used, but you know yourselves, as if it's just a nothing. And the reality of what that word means is not grasped in the way that it should. I know many friends will close their eyes in sleep, even tonight, throughout the world, maybe in our own island, maybe someone we know. Close their eyes in sleep, gone from the sin of time. Opening their eyes in a lost eternity. Oh, I pray that that would not be any here, still out of Christ. Friends, I or my like, we cannot frighten anyone into heaven. But I pray that you would hear the word and the words of Jesus, and that you would watch and that you would fear him that has the power to cast you into hell. Fear him indeed. To be kept from this hopeless, endless, loveless location. Hell. Friends, you know, I could stand here and some far better and preach on hell for the next 10 years and would still fall short of what it really is. And Christian, let's not forget what we've been delivered from, as I said. It was Spurgeon who said that any Christian who thinks lightly of hell will think lightly of the cross and what Christ has suffered. And the safest and the quickest road to hell tonight, it's in a sense a gradual, gentle slope. And I fear that some even here tonight and listening in, some are already on that slippery slope. And you don't realize it. And you won't. Until you open your eyes amongst the devil and his angels. Oh, friend, that it would not be so. Let us pray. O blessed Lord, deliver us, we pray thee. Help us to realize the enormity of dying without Christ. Give us, from the youngest to the oldest here, a fear of hell and a love for the Lord. For that is the only way that we will escape that place of damnation. Won't thou come and work by thy Spirit? Oh, we know, Lord, thou art the one who must give the increase, and it is only as thou wilt do it that we will see evidence of thy Spirit at work. Be pleased, Lord, to hear the prayers of thy people. Continue to pardon sin for Christ's sake. Amen. We'll conclude now in Psalm number 9. Psalm number 9. And at verse 15, the last five stanzas, the heathen are sunk in the pit which they themselves prepared, and in the net which they have hid, their own feet fast are snared. The Lord is by the judgment known, which he himself hath wrought. The sinner's hands do make the snares, wherewith themselves are caught. And so on. Psalm 9 from verse 15, the heathen are sunk in the pit.